In today's talk, we'll look at cultivating joy by watering our wholesome seeds. There are many flavors of joy: bliss, rapture, happiness, contentment, ease. But defining joy is difficult. One of the most curious things about joy is that it often doesn't seem caused. We usually don't say, "Oh yes, that makes me filled with joy." Joy comes to us often in unexpected, unanticipated moments. We know what it's like to feel joy, to feel the delight of being, to feel a celebration of the moment, the joy of being touched by the simplest of things. Sometimes we try to distinguish between joy, which is what I feel when I'm on my way to see my grandchildren, and happiness, which is what I feel when I'm giving them a hug. Joy is associated with energetic words like exuberance, zest, enthusiasm, while happiness is designated by quieter terms like agreeable, ease, and comfort. My teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, who I will be referring to as Thai, says, "Many people think excitement is happiness, but when you're excited, you are not peaceful. True happiness is based on peace." If you think about it, excitement brings with it restlessness and a contracted urge for more. Joy that results from curiosity is smoother and open rather than contracted. Joy arises from being attentive and curious. Excitement, on the other hand, requires something to happen to us or requires us to procure something that we want. So I think that determining the source of happiness or joy is more important than determining if the feeling is happiness or joy. In this talk, I'll use joy and happiness as synonyms. Does the joy come from external conditions, or are we happy for no reason? As we grow to understand our happiness mental states, we become aware that happiness need not be dependent on our materialistic possessions and pursuits. Joy, the heart celebration of life, comes from the aliveness when we let ourselves be open to what is. With mindfulness, happiness becomes more of a choice rather than being dependent on perfect external conditions. External happiness arises from causes and conditions and therefore disappears with those causes and conditions. Happiness for no reason is celebrating the life that is here, without being dependent on things being a certain way. Happiness and joy are impermanent. To have happiness or joy from external conditions, we cannot be attached to it. William Blake understood this beautifully. He wrote, "He who binds himself a joy doth the wing's life destroy, but he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise." Agnes Iswaran, a spiritual teacher, says, "What we usually try to do is capture any joy that comes our way before it can escape. We have our butterfly net and go after the joy like a hunter stalking his prey. We hide and wait, pounce on it, catch it, and take it home to put it on our wall. When our friends come to visit, we say, 'Hey, Stu, would you like to see my joy? There it is on the wall, dead.' We try to cling to pleasure, but all we succeed in doing is making ourselves frustrated because, whatever it promises, pleasure simply cannot last. But if I'm willing to kiss the joy as it flies, I say, 'Yes, this is a beautiful moment. I won't grab it. I'll let it go.' It's wise effort to savor the joyful moment without clinging to it." Sometimes we confuse pleasant feelings or cravings for happiness, but we can have a pleasant feeling without being happy. Revenge may give us a pleasant feeling, but it doesn't make us happy. Craving, dreaming about getting something you want, may feel like happiness, but it really isn't. Craving has an entangling aftertaste that happiness does not have. Happiness occurs in wholesome mind moments, so we can increase the occurrence of happiness by watering our positive seeds and taking skillful actions. Negative mindsets tend to increase unpleasant feelings, which in turn trigger unwholesome thoughts and actions, thus reducing the likelihood for happiness. A mind that's in a state of joy is predisposed to notice that which is beautiful, wholesome, pleasant, and satisfying, while at the same time tending to disregard that which is unpleasant. The perceptions that arise in a joyful mind will tend to emphasize the positive aspects. The glass will be perceived as half full rather than half empty. Tai says we believe happiness is only possible in the future. That's why the practice, I have arrived, is very important. The conditions for our happiness are already there. We only need to allow ourselves to be in the present moment and we'll be able to touch them. One practice I've been doing for the last 5 years is called taking in the good. Each morning when I go out to get the newspaper, I spend 20 seconds taking in the good. It could be a beautiful sky, a tree, a flower. Sometimes on a gray day, it's the smell of the air or the sound of the birds. Whatever I perceive that is good, I savor for 20 seconds. This makes me aware of the present moment and gives me joy. It's also brought more mindfulness to my day, as I now notice the beauty of the clouds, the tree, the world. Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. That's why Thich Nhat Hanh encourages us to practice mouth yoga. Let's try it now. I invite you to sit comfortably and close your eyes. Breathing in, know that you're breathing in. Breathing out, know that you are breathing out. Breathing in, smile in your mouth. Breathing out, feel the joy. Breathing in, expand your smile all the way up to your eyes. Breathing out, feel the joy. And when you are ready, you can open your eyes. Sometimes we're not in a place where we can feel the joy, and that's okay. We can still condition our happiness muscle. When happiness is already manifesting, we have to continue to nourish it. Thich Nhat Hanh says we can condition our bodies and minds to happiness with the five practices of letting go, inviting positive seeds, mindfulness, concentration, and insight. But before I can do any of those, I need to slow down first. Most of our lives, we're leaning forward on our way somewhere else. We spend our time planning for the future so we don't even notice the moments of joy that are happening in the present moment. As I read this story, reflect on what your reaction would be. Do you need to slow down? A man sat at a metro station in Washington, D.C. and started to play the violin. It was a cold January morning. He played 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. During that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that 1,100 people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. In the 45 minutes the musician played, only 6 people stopped and stayed for a while. The one who paid the most attention was a 3-year-old boy. His mother tagged him along, hurried, but the kid stopped to look at the violinist. Finally, the mother pushed hard, and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This action was repeated by several other children. All the parents, without exception, forced them to move on. About 20 gave him money but continued to walk their normal pace. He collected $32. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the most talented musicians in the world. He had just played one of the most intricate pieces ever written on a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before his playing in the subway, Joshua Bell sold out at a theater in Boston where the seats averaged $100. This is a real story. Joshua Bell playing incognito in the metro station was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment. Think about it. If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing the best music ever written, how many other things are we missing? Once we slow down, we can start with the first practice, which is letting go. The method of creating joy and happiness by casting off, leaving behind. There's a joy that comes from letting go. Think of cleaning out your closet. We are bound to many things that we believe are necessary for our survival, our security, and our happiness, but many of these things, or more precisely, our belief about their utter necessity, are really obstacles for our joy or happiness. Sometimes you think that having a certain career, a diploma, a salary, a house, a partner is crucial for your happiness. You think you can't go on without it. And even when you get what you wanted, you're not happy. You cling to it, afraid of losing it, making yourself miserable. Tai says if you come to look deeply into your fearful attachment, you'll realize that it is in fact the very obstacle to your joy and happiness. You have the capacity to let it go. Letting go takes a lot of courage. But once you let go, happiness comes very quickly. You won't have to go around searching for it. One habit I recently let go of was my Diet Pepsi habit. For years, I tried to use willpower to give it up, but the craving was too strong. Finally, I tried mindfulness. I paid close attention to how my body felt when the craving came up. And I looked at the need the craving would fill. It was belonging. When I was young, I wanted to be a big kid because they got to stay up and have POP. I paid attention to how it tasted. The first few sips were really good. I thought, this is never going to work. But after the first few sips, the taste was just okay. I also paid attention to the fact that having a Diet Pepsi would mean that I would be anxiously waiting for a meeting to end, so that I could go to the bathroom. And that meant I didn't chat with my coworkers after the meeting, so it actually backfired on filling the need of belonging. Instead of making me happy, Diet Pepsi was actually an obstacle to my feeling of belonging and causing me anxiety. Another habit I'm letting go of is brushing anything unpleasant under the carpet. I thought that brushing unpleasant under the carpet would make me happy, but it takes a lot of energy to keep things hidden. And if I can't feel the 10,000 sorrows, I can't feel the 10,000 joys. I used to think it made no sense to try and stay with discomfort when meditating. I said mindfulness about reducing suffering, not adding to it. But I've realized if I really want to feel the joy, I have to feel the pain as well. So I've begun working on building up my window of tolerance for discomfort. Tara Brach talks about two thoughts that we need to let go of. Something is missing and something is wrong. When we think something is missing, we have if only mind. If only the wind was not so strong, I would have been happier walking on the beach. If only the sun were shining, I would be happy. If only I could have some chocolate. If only, if only, if only. With if only mind, we're leaning forward. We are not in the one place we can find true happiness, the present moment. The other thought to let go of is something's wrong. It may be something's wrong with the world, so we blame others. Or it may be something's wrong with me. We feel like we are not enough, so we can't love life. Did you ever feel guilty when something good happened to you? Instead of enjoying the pleasure, we think, I did not deserve this. The next method to cultivating happiness is to invite positive seeds. To attempt to cultivate joy without a right view is to risk watering the wrong seeds. Our views might not be clearly formulated in our mind, but whether formulated or not, these views have far-reaching influence. They structure our perceptions, our values, the way we see ourselves in the world. Our views determine what seeds we water. Ty says we're often caught up in our perceptions. This is not wise. We have to be objective and touch all aspects of reality. We mustn't allow one aspect to prevent us from seeing the whole picture. A common perception is to think that a craving will bring us happiness, but that is a delusion. I finally saw the Diet Pepsi delusion. Looking at the whole picture, I saw Diet Pepsi brought more discomfort than pleasure. While I occasionally have a Diet Pepsi, I have abandoned the craving for it. We don't have to abandon the object of craving. We just need to abandon the craving itself. Having a right view helps us make sure that our intentions align with our real values so we can live the life we want. Wise intention is selectively watering seeds. It takes an intention to turn toward happiness. We can choose to be happy. Henry Nouwen said, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." The next method is mindfulness. With mindfulness, we can choose the appropriate spot and water our wholesome seeds. Without mindfulness, whatever happens to be in our mind at the moment will influence what we do. If we have wholesome thoughts, we'll have wholesome actions and speech. If we have unwholesome thoughts, we'll have unwholesome actions or speech. When we practice breathing mindfully or walking mindfully, we bring our mind home to our body. If we let ourselves open to the present moment, we see we have so many conditions of happiness already available. Joy and happiness come right away. When I was on a retreat shortly after my mother passed, my grief wanted to take over. While the grief was still there, with mindfulness, I was able to enjoy walks on the lake and through the woods. There was grief, but at the same time, there was joy. Mindfulness is an energy you can generate all day long through your practice. You can eat your breakfast in mindfulness and enjoy all the smells and tastes and textures. You can walk in mindfulness and see the beauty of the world. With mindfulness, you can touch the many conditions of happiness that are already available. If you stop and come back to the present moment, you can create joy and happiness anytime you want. Ty says if we take one peaceful step, happy step, and we know we are taking a peaceful, happy step, mindfulness is present. Our seed of mindfulness has been buried under many layers of forgetfulness and pain for a long time. We are rarely aware that we have eyes that see clearly, a heart and liver that function, and a non-toothache. We live in forgetfulness, looking for happiness somewhere else, ignoring and crushing the precious elements of happiness that are already in us. If we practice mindfulness, we get in touch with the refreshing and joyful aspects of life around us, things that we are not able to touch when we live in forgetfulness. Mindfulness makes things like our eyes, our heart, our non-toothache, the beautiful moon, and the trees deeper and more beautiful. If we touch these wonderful things with mindfulness, they will reveal their true splendor. The next method is concentration, which is born from mindfulness. Concentration has the power to break through, to burn away the afflictions that make you suffer and allow joy and happiness to come in. To stay in the present moment takes concentration. Worry and anxiety about the future is always there ready to take us away. We can see them, acknowledge them, and use our concentration to return to the present moment. Sometimes it takes a lot of concentration to shine light on how we turn on ourselves and block the joy. When we have concentration, we have a lot of energy. We don't get carried away by visions of past suffering or fears about the future. We dwell in the present moment so we can get in touch with the wonders of life and generate joy and happiness. then happiness arises lightly and easily. The last method is insight. With mindfulness, we can recognize the tension in our body, and we want very much to release it, but sometimes we can't. What we need is some insight. I wanted to release the tension of my Diet Pepsi craving, but until I looked at it closely, I couldn't. I learned that craving was actually an obstacle for my happiness, that it brought me anxiety. Sometimes we know this thing is not worth the sleep we're losing over it, but we still go on spending our time and energy obsessing about it. We're like a fish who's been caught once before and knows there's a hook inside the bait. If the fish makes use of that insight, he won't bite because he knows he'll get caught by the hook. But often we just bite into our craving or grudge and let the hook take us. We get caught and attached to these situations that are not worthy of our concern. If mindfulness and concentration are there, then insight will be there, and we can make use of it to swim away free. It requires, first of all, that we come home to ourselves, that we make peace with our suffering, treating it tenderly, and looking deeply at the roots of our pain. It requires that we let go of useless, unnecessary suffering and take a closer look at our idea of happiness. My suffering was being a little kid, not getting the advantages of being a big kid. And happiness comes from a feeling of belonging, not from drinking POP. Finally, it requires that we nourish happiness daily. We take the time to understand and feel compassion for ourselves and those around us. As we do so, our capacity for happiness increases. May you see the conditions of happiness that are already available. I'd like to end with a poem from Lama Gendu Rinpoche. Happiness cannot be found, though through great effort and willpower, but is already here, right now, in relaxation and letting go. Don't strain yourself, there's nothing to do. Whatever arises in the mind has no importance at all, because it has no reality whatsoever. Don't become attached to it. Don't pass judgment. Let the game happen on its own, emerging and falling back, without changing anything. And all will vanish and begin anew without end. Only our searching for happiness prevents us from seeing it. It is like a rainbow which you run after without ever catching it. Although it does not exist, it has always been there and accompanies you every instant. Don't believe in the reality of good and bad experiences. They are like rainbows. Wanting to grasp the ungraspable, you exhaust yourself in vain. As soon as you relax this grasping, there is space, open, inviting, and comfortable. So make use of it. Everything is already yours. Search no more. Don't go into the inextricable jungle looking for the elephant who is already quietly at home. Nothing to do, nothing to force, nothing to want, and everything happens by itself. May you see the conditions of happiness that are available to you right now in the present moment.